I started my first physical therapy.
This oh, there we go.
Did anything
there we go.
Here.
Good evening.
Can you, we have a lot of space over your head.
And we don't know what we can do about that.
Take a look. Can't see yours. Okay.
How's that?
Much.
And I see your, and I see your left elbow.
You surely do. Surely.
Thank you, but don't call me Shirley.
Shirley, you must be kidding.
How are you?
Exhausted. Yourself?
We're all a little tired, and it's cold here.
Oh, but no.
It gets cold at night. We're in all of our woolly things.
It'll be beautiful next week. Don't worry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking care of that. Who on the board is in charge of weather at this point? It must be Shlomo. Always Shlomo.
Shlomo is in charge of everything.
He's the go-to boy.
Yes. When in doubt, turn to Shlomo. I just, today was my first day teaching at the Stern College for Women.
Oh, my God. What are you teaching? That's a question.
Pins on you. I am teaching Holocaust responsa.
Really?
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Anybody we know in your class?
No, anyone. It was, it's different. It's definitely different than teaching young men. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
In what way?
Many ways. In the middle of the class, two girls out of 14 actually said to me, "This is the best class I've ever taken." You would never get that from a boy.
I can't imagine.
Ever.
Yeah, I can't imagine that happening.
What a, just an example of how it's different.
Yeah.
What do boys do if they don't do something? Do they just not say anything?
Yeah, they say nothing, grumble, you know.
Pretty much it.
Okay.
Right, so Thursdays now are very busy because I've got to get all my uptown teaching in by 1 o'clock so I can make it downtown by 2:15 for my class there. And that's an hour and 40-minute class.
Uh-huh. Wow. And yeah. Do you do that by subway or how do you do it?
Subway.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, the problem in Stern is on the east side and the subway runs down the west side.
But, so you have to cross over.
These are the issues. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's get going before I fall asleep.
Fair enough.
Parak Tes. You people got the sheets. You have books. Yes. Good. Excellent. So if you remember last time, Shmuel left off, and despite the fact that he was less than happy about it, he said, okay, I'm going to go get you people a king. So the search begins. Test begins by he ish bin yamin, ushmo kish ben aviel ben tsror ben bechorath ben afiach ben ish shemini gibor chayel. Once was a man from Binyamin. And his name was Kish, who was the son of Aviel, who was the son of Tzor, who was the son of Bechoras, who was the son of Afiach, son of a man from Binyamin. It's a pretty long list there.
Do we know who these people are? Is it important for us to know?
So the only thing that's important, you'll take a look at number one on the sheet. It talks about Shaul's grandfather. Now, Shaul is the son of Kish. And who is his grandfather, according to this list?
Aviel.
Aviel, correct. The Mirshami said he actually had two names. Amarej, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Shaul Rozach, Malucha, Ela Al-Yudesha, Zikema, Mavlik, Ner, Lerabdik, Nikrishmo, Ner. His grandfather would actually walk around lighting streetlights at night so people would not stumble.
Oh, cool.
And because of that, in fact, that because he was kind enough to do this, he had a grandson who would become the first king of Israel.
Wow. Because he lit lights.
What?
Because he lit lights?
Yes, because he lit lights.
Fire.
So the Yerushalmi turns around and says, well, wait a second. Was his name really Ner? Wasn't his name Aviel we see here?
Right.
So he's referred to both. His actual name was Aviel, but they referred to him as Ner because he's the guy who lit the candles.
Okay.
I don't think you remember. Let's go back a little bit. Who was Devorah's husband?
Baruch.
Baruch?
Baruch.
Yes,
that's what Alan just said.
The general.
Barak.
Barak.
Yeah. Close enough.
Close, yeah.
So that is one opinion. I'll say another thing was called was Lapidos. Why was it called Lapidos?
Because of the lamp.
Because you're right, because he was also he was a lamplighter.
I had no idea it was such a upstanding, what's the word I'm looking for? Position.
Yep. And again, the idea is somebody who cared enough to help out the community was seen as a very great person. In fact, when we daven on Shabbos, we still praise the people.
Wait.
The Kumporkan, right?
You got garbled. What did you say? Say that again.
When we daven on Shabbos, at the beginning of Musaf, we say Yukum Porkan.
Yes.
Right? And we talk about people who give a Sherman Lamor. Right? The people who donate oil in order that we should light the lights in Shul.
Okay.
So again, this is not such a crazy idea. Okay, so this is Shaul. So again, first we introduce his father Kish. And ish b'nei Yisrael tov b'menu, mishichmo v'malo gavol mikolav. He had a great son. His name was Shalom. He was a tall fellow, head and shoulders above the rest. This is where it comes from. V'atovana osoros l'kish avi Shalom, v'yoma kish al Shalom b'no, kachna itko asacha me'anarim, v'kum lech b'kish asafonos. They lost their donkeys. So his father sends out his son to Shaul, say, go, let's find the donkeys. Take one of our employees with you and go out and see where you can find it. Vayavor b'har Ephraim, vayavor b'eres shalisha v'lo matzahu, vayavor b'eres she'arim v'ayin, vayavor b'eres yimini v'lo matzahu. So they were going all over the place. They went into the area in Har Ephraim of Shalisha. It wasn't there. The area of Shalim wasn't there. Going back to Binyamin, still nothing.
Can I stop you a second?
Just did. Well done.
Yes, thanks. I want to go back to the pasuk before.
Okay. Where,
and maybe somebody took liberty with the translation, but it says, when it's describing him, he was young and handsome, not a man of Bnei Yisrael, was more handsome. I misread it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Got it.
Right. He was a member of Bnei Yisrael.
Right.
So they just weren't lookers the way he was.
Okay, sorry. Thanks.
Good. Glad we worked that out. So they're traveling around and they can't find it. Hema bo beres tzuf v'shol amar l'na'aro asher imo l'chov v'nashuva penyach dalo v'imen asanos v'dag l'anu. So he turns to this worker and he says to him, you know, we really, at this point, it's time to turn around because we're getting to the point that my father is not going to care anymore about these donkeys. He's going to become concerned about us.
Where do we go?
Right. Vayomero, hineinu ish Elohim ba'ir hazos, va'ish nechvad, kol asher yidaber bo yavo, atam el choshem asher yagid lanu esther kenu asher lach lo leo. So he says. So the fellow says to him, you know what? At this point, there happens to be in this area, I know that there's a Navi. Maybe we should talk to him and he could help us out. Interesting to note that the way that what we've heard now about Shaul was actually very important towards his leadership. The Rambam, in number 2 and 3, talk about what it takes to be a leader. In number 2, regarding being in Sanhedrin, he says it's really important that the guy be good looking. You should call him Bale Seva, Bale Chobe. They should be tall. Bale Mara. They should be good looking. So the fact that Shaul is a good looking fellow, that's not an irrelevant piece of information. Similarly, in number three, it says, what does it take to be a king? In order for someone to be a king, someone has to be caring of even the small people. So if you look at number four points out that right here, we have a case of that. When Shaul turns to this fellow, this Nar, this employee, what does it say? We better get back because what?
My father's going to worry.
About?
Us, not the dynasty.
Right. The truth of the matter is, his father probably would have been more concerned about his son than about his worker. But Shaul, being a kind fellow, talks to him as an equal. And says to him, you know, he's going to be nervous about us.
Why does a king have to be tall?
Good question.
It happens to be true that, by and large, presidents tend to be taller. People tend to vote for taller people. It's funny that it doesn't make any sense, but you'll see even among rabbis, taller rabbis tend to be more successful. They tend to be more of a presence.
Also, I mean, it seems the obvious. If you're tall and good looking, forget what you're like. You know, you're kind of a shoo-in. You people are already going to look at you and say, "Ooh, I really love him."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been trying to get by on my looks for some time now.
It seems to be working for you.
Yeah, that's what I figure. Yep. So, moving right along.
Yes.
So it happens. So these psukim are important because we get insight into who the future leader Shaul is. And now the servant, the worker, whatever you might have it, call him, says, you know, there's a Navi around. Shaul has an interesting reaction. Vayomer Shaul, Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer Shaul et Na'aro, v'hinei nelech, ma Navi la'ish? Ki alech mazal mikereinu, u'tshura ein la'avi la'ish aleim ma'itanu. He said, well, we're going to ask him to do us something. What are we? How are we going to pay him? We're out of food. So we don't have any money on us. So interesting. So did Shmuel really demand payment for his services?
No.
So if you look at Rashi in number five, Rashi says, of course, the Targum Yonasan, in Makabo Mama Mano Gavro Yesho Makir Bimas of Shal Shmuel Vasoshi Yesha Al Skar. Shaul just didn't know Shmuel. And therefore he was assuming that he would take a payment, but the truth of the matter is that no, he actually was not interested in it at all. So the servant responds, Chesed Vayosef Hanara Anose Shaul Vayomer. He says, I got a quarter on me. Let's try it. Next pasuk is a very strange pasuk. Lefanim bi Yisrael kol amar ha'ish, v'lechta l'drosh Elohim, l'chu v'nelcha ad haroeh. Ki l'navi hayom, the Navi steps back and says, by the way, those days when people used to go see the Navi, they said, let's go see the Roeh, the seer. Because in those days, they used to refer to a Navi as a seer.
Okay. What's so weird about that?
So, one particularly weird part is how many years after this happened was the book written?
I don't know.
Who wrote the book?
Well, Shmuel?
Shmuel. Shmuel's dead in 3 years from now.
Okay. Right?
Remember last time we said that Shmuel had already gotten old?
Right? Yeah.
So he was writing this shortly after it happened. So what's he telling me? Oh, in those days they used to refer to the Navi as a Roeh. That's issue number one. Issue number two is that, who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Why is it relevant what word they used for Navi?
Okay.
So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in that nice English article, which Marsh is not here to appreciate.
You're right about that.
He talks about that this, in fact, is a key pasuk. You can read it on, you don't need me to read a few inside, but I'll just give you the highlights.
Give us the ikar.
Right. As he says, he explains as follows. This is actually a watershed moment. This is the point where the time of the Shoftim are ending, and we are officially going into the time of the Melech / Navi. That at the time of the Shoftim, the religious leader and the political leader were one and the same. Whether it was Devorah, whether it was Shimshon, whoever it was.
And now the split comes.
Now we are reaching a point where Shmuel is the Navi and Shaul is the king. David is the king, Nasan is the Navi. There's going to be a split here between church and state.
But I don't understand, since you're saying this is the pasuk that's, you know, kind of the watershed moment, why is this the pasuk that's the watershed moment?
Look at the article, which you'll have the opportunity to do, because I gave you.
Doesn't that come when Saul is anointed? Couldn't you say that's the watershed moment?
No, because this is the watershed moment where Saul is about to meet Shmuel, who's about to tell him you're going to be anointed.
I got it. Okay.
That's where it splits.
I never would have thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So he says, let's just skip quickly to the last paragraph. When the era of the Shoftim ended and in their place kings reigned over Israel, the royal figures were the people's leaders, but not their teachers. The prophet, previously only the seer, the private guide, now became the Navi, who assumed one aspect of the leadership that had previously belonged to the judge. Now that the prophet took a place in the line of Masorah, teaching the next generation the sacred heritage. So again, it used to be that these Nevi'im were, they were just private citizens, and all of a sudden, things are about to change.
Okay, so in that light, I'm going to ask this question, which I held earlier. It seems... Okay. This youth, this worker, this Navi, whoever, first of all, he's not named. He comes up with the thinking about going to the seer or the Navi, whatever. He comes up with the money. He seems kind of an important little pawn here.
I don't know, because the guy gave him a quarter?
Listen, Saul says, I don't have any money. Saul says, we ought to go back because my father's going to be worried about us. And he says, There's a seer around here. I'm going to make it happen. He doesn't say it. That's what happens.
Well, he does make it happen.
Right. He's not named. We would have just passed over him probably if I didn't ask something. I'm curious about why he doesn't get any kind of credit.
I mean, he does get credit, right? We just read about him.
In the book.
He made it into the book that puts him up on all of us, big time.
Interesting he's not named or doesn't. Okay.
Okay. They're going to go to the seer.
He makes the watershed moment happen. I think that's kind of big time.
Okay. Hopefully he has a large portion in the world to come that he's enjoying as we speak.
I hope so.
All right. So Shaul says, all right, I'm in. Vayomer Shaul v'naro, tov v'dvarcha, v'cha ne'ocha, v'yecho ha'ir asher shav ish Elohim. Okay, let's head in that direction. Again, next psukim are a little weird. So heima olim b'male ha'ir, v'heima matzu ne'aros, yotzot v'shav mayim, v'yom olim ha'yesh b'zeh ha'roem. So they reach the city and there are some young maidens who are there, who are going to draw water. And he says to them, Do you know where we might find the Roem? And the answer is follows. Vata anena osam vatomarna, yesh hineva fanecha, mahera ta ki ayom bala yer ki zevach hayom ha'am babamam. And they say to him, yes, he is here. You should go quickly because today he's coming to the city, because today in the city there is a carbon being offered on the bama. Keep on going. So they say, when you get to the city, you'll find him there before he goes to the bama to offer the carbon, because they won't eat until he gets here, because he's going to bless the carbon. Then they will eat, all the people that are there. And then you can go up, because then today you'll find them there.
Do we have any idea what's happening, what this korban is about, this korban offering?
No idea what the korban is about.
Okay.
He comes, he's going to bring a korban. At this point, we don't know anything about it. But what's your impression from those psukim?
I think there's big goings on in the city.
I think these people are just babbling.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There's something going on.
You think what?
There is no reason why it should have taken that many words to say,
come
sit down for a carbon.
Okay. It's all the people are standing there, and the people this, they won't eat.
The Gemara in Bracha says, what exactly are they doing?
Okay.
Why are these women babbling? So they offer two answers.
He's so handsome, maybe.
Yeah. Right? The two answers, one's going to upset Patty, the other's going to upset her more.
Oh, yeah. I can already tell what's coming here.
So it says, number eight, the Gemara says, Areyu Omer, Bevokinvoachem, Ha'ir, came to Tseno so, Betermi, Alev, Amosel, Achom, Kilo Yacho Ha'am, Ibo, Kihu Yavarecha Zavach, Achri, Chenyocho Akruim. The Kol Kach Lama, why did it take so many words to say so little?
Like looking.
Since number one, because the Nashim Dabrani Yosein, women talk a lot. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Shmuel Kedele Hastil Lestakel B'Yofim Shoshol. Because they wanted to stare at him into those deep eyes. As it says, we shiver about Gavomi Kalam. Well, that's answer number two. Answer number three is that Rafisha Ein Machus no Gas Bechaverta Afil Kamoi Nima. You cannot have someone become king before their time. And therefore, God goes into stall as these people just talk a little bit longer until it's time for him to become the new king.
I don't understand that. Why do you need to stall?
Because it wasn't time yet.
Okay.
We will not make any king before it's time.
Yeah.
What's that problem with the
wine?
Okay.
No wine before it's time.
Okay.
Yes. The Medrash number nine, by the way, rejects the answer number two.
Good. Is it any better?
Well, it says it likes the third answer. It says because, what do you say? These women are just staring at a good-looking guy. That's not nice to say,
right?
Yeah. Right. So therefore, it rejects it. Ramosha Feinstein is a, by the way, number 10. Quotes this halachically. He says, "Is there any that obviously it's inappropriate for men to be staring at women? Is it inappropriate for women to be staring at men?"
Don't look at me.
Oh, I can't. The question is, can you look at me?
Judy was looking at me like she wanted me to answer, and I'm waiting for them to answer.
So Moshe Feinstein says that the fact that the Medrash gets upset, that says, how dare you say that they were staring at him, indicates that's not necessarily an appropriate thing to do.
Right.
All right. So they got the message, and they're on their way. Yudavin, vaya'alu ha'ir, They show up just in time as Shmuel is getting ready to go up onto the Mizbeach and to offer the carbon. Now, Hashem tipped off Shmuel the day before and told him as follows. So God says to Shmuel, at this time tomorrow, a fellow is going to show up at your front door. He's going to be from Binyamin. He is the guy you're going to make the king, and he, in fact, is going to defeat the Plishtim. All of a sudden, the next day, Yud Zayin, Shmuel Ra Eshaul, Badanai Ano, Hinei Ha'isha Sher Amarti Elecha, Zei Yatzar Bavi. As he walks in, God says, psst, that's the guy. That's the guy you want to anoint. Okay, that's good. Vayigash Shaul Eshmuel B'toch HaShar V'yomar HaGidah Nali, Eze Beis HaRoah. They go to Shmuel not knowing who he is and says, excuse me, young man or old man, would you mind telling me where I might find the seer? I am the man. So listen, join me here and come back at the end of the, you'll join me at the carbon, you'll stay the night, and don't worry, over the day, I'll tell you exactly what you need to know. Rashi in Chumash number 11 points out that this was actually not right, what he said, because he should have, instead of saying, God gives me the ability, he says, I am the seer.
Right.
Because of that, ultimately, he's punished. But it comes time next time for him to anoint his next king. And who's the next king?
David,
right? As we'll see, it's totally not going to work out for him. But he's going to be constantly picking the wrong people. And God's going to say, oh, you're so smart. You're the
seer. Wait a minute.
I'm waiting.
He's not picking the people. God's picking them.
No, what's going to happen is he's going to say, go to the house of Yishai and anoint the correct son.
Right.
And he's going to miss on his first 7 guesses.
I see what you're saying. But, okay, all right. It seems, but God tells him it's Saul. It shall work.
Right. So in this case, he gets it, no problem. But next time, after he says here, Anochi Haroeh, I am the seer, in return, God's going to say, really?
Gotcha. Okay. Really has to take him down a few.
Listen, Chak, Ulaso Nosav Dos Lecha, Hayom Shloshe Seimim Al Tasim Es Libcha Lehem, Ki Nimso Lemi Kochem Das Yisrael Halo Lecha Lecha Beis Avicha. Don't worry about your donkeys anymore. They found them already. That's all good. Your father's got it back, he said. Shmuel said to him, you know, you are going to be a leader. He says, what are you talking about? There are 12 shvatim. Of the 12 shvatim, number 12 is Binyamin. And of the families of Binyamin, my family is the youngest. So I'm actually the last person you want to pick. Right? So this is what, in fact, the Medrash points at. That in fact, that ultimately, interesting, there were 12 shvatim. Binyamin, however, has 10 children, and Yosef has 2, Ephraim and Manasseh. So Rachel, to a certain extent, also has 12 tribes. And of those 12, even of Rachel, the Medrash says, the family of Shaul is the smallest, the youngest. So Shaul says, there's no way I am the man. I am but a small player in a small family of a small shevet. There's no way that I can be the king. Chav Dabez, Vayikach Shmuel Ashoro Ves Narov Vayivim Lish Lishkasa Vayitem Lehem Makom Barosh Hakuhim Vayim Kish Kish Kishloshim Ish. So he's going to preside over this carbon. He takes Shaul and his sidekick, and he sits them up front. And I gave you a special piece of meat. He said, here is a very important piece of meat. I want you to eat this. So in front of everybody, he does this. And this finishes, and they go and they talk on the roof together. Says, okay, I'm going to send you home now. So he says, have the young man walk ahead. I've got to talk to you privately. And in fact, I've got to tell you what God told me. And with that, the parak ends. Next parak, we're going to pick up and say, okay, guess what? Shaul, you are the king.
Wow. I would think very weird for Shaul.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
One day he's looking for donkeys, and the next day he's the king of Israel.
He's the king of Israel.
Yeah.
Pretty weird, huh? Mm-hmm. So, what are we doing next week? Next week, Thursday, I'm on a plane.
Right.
Moshe Shabbos, Saturday night.
I'm game if you're game. Are you guys game?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Pick a time.
Okay.
7:30, 8.
Is Shabbos over?
And whatever is convenient. What for you? What do you want to do?
I don't have to leave the airport till 10, so I'm fine either way. So we call it 8:00, as is traditional.
Shabbos is over at 6:01. So you could do that 8 that way. Actually,
7:30.
7:30, whatever you guys want. I may not be there.
Oh,
okay.
I have a prior commitment, not knowing that that's what you were going to do. I'm bummed about that. Is there any other time we could do it during Shabbos?
So, yeah, I guess, why don't we check in with Marcia and Shlomo?
Check in with Marcia and Shlomo. Oh, okay.
During Shabbos, no.
No? Bummer. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry to miss chapter 10 with you. I said it last week, and I don't want to beat a dead horse. If you need a ride, you're going to need to just let me know.
Okay. All right. Do me a favor, be in touch with Shlomo. He coordinates these things?
He does?
He should.
Want me to check in with Shlomo, or are you going to do that?
Why don't we cut out me, the middleman, and you check in with Shlomo?
I love responsibility.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Have a great Shabbos.
You too. All the best.
Thanks. Bye. Bye. Boy, he cuts out fast.
Yeah.
Smart man.
Go to bed. Those women, they're just so chatty. Women talk too much.
They talk too much. And good looking.
That's right.
Oh, my God. We just have to sit there and look at it. But that was denied.
It's amazing. 3,000 years, nothing's changed.
Ah! You really believe that, Alan? He's just saying.
I think women talk a little too much.
I think. think valid. Men don't talk enough. That's the problem.
Well, there is a balance to it all. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, did he start the class off by saying he teaches at Stern and first time?
Yeah, it is.
That was no, so, that's probably that example.
I could see, because, yeah, that, boys would never do that.
Right.
Girls are just more acute.